You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. Today, we are going back to April 10th, 1965. Jeff, are you ready for another trip in the Wayback Machine?
As long as we take the DeLorean once again.
We need to start a month earlier, however.
Okay.
So the winter of 1965 was a snowy winter. In early March, there was 59.6 inches of snow on the ground.
That's a lot.
A lot. A three-day winter storm from March 16th through the 18th left over 9 more inches of snow with winds gusting between 40 to 75 miles an hour. The snow depth was 21 inches and drifts of 10 to 25 feet.
Wow.
After the storm...
They don't make them like they used to for those storms.
No. After the storm, spring flood prediction was 23 feet. Flood stage for the Minnesota River at Mankato at that time was 19 feet. So in April brought warm temperatures, rapidly melting snow and rain. Spring flooding was guaranteed. The question was, how severe? So today we will look back at the historic flood of 1965. Sit back and be surrounded by history. The days turned warm quickly, and by the end of March, some families in La Hillier began to leave for higher ground. Many remembered the 1951 flood, which had crested at 26.2 feet and inundated La Hillier and much of North Mankato. Dike building began. The Minnesota River was still frozen, was measured at 2.37 feet on April 2nd. By Monday, April 5th, it had risen to 11 feet. Flood crest prediction stood at 23 feet. Dikes were ready at 26. An ice jam on the Main Street Bridge that caused concern, but it broke itself up. The newspaper headlines read, "Chance of major flooding in area seems declining." However, there was another inch of rain the next day. The flood crest prediction rose to 25 feet. Both Mankato and North Mankato scrambled to build their dikes higher. The Maple, Le Sueur, and Watonwan Rivers, all which flow into the Blue Earth River, were rising more quickly than the Minnesota River. By Tuesday, April 6th, Indian Creek was becoming a problem, flowing into the Pleasant Street Slough, piped across the West High School parking lot, then under Park Lane, which is also now Riverfront Drive, and Matson's Super Value, which is now Cub Foods West, and into the Minnesota River. The outlet into the river needed to be blocked as the water rose above it. Pumps were having trouble pumping over the dike, and the high school parking lot began to flood. The turning point, Wednesday, April 7th, 1965. Due to continued rain and rapidly melting snow, the flood crest prediction now rose to 26.5 feet, with an expected crest on April 10th. Dike work continued at a hurried pace as the area entered the most worrisome hours. Calls went out for more heavy construction equipment and floodlights with generators so work could continue at night. At one point, even the empty sandbags ran out. As the cities of Mankato and North Mankato and the unincorporated village of La Hillier continued to raise their dikes, Honeymead, now CHS, located on the east bank of the Blue Earth River, called upon their employees to protect the plant. A spur railroad line close to the river was flooded by morning. All motors were moved out of the area and boilers were cooled down. Empty storage tanks were filled with water as a means of protection if they became surrounded by water. The efforts were successful and Honeymead was not flooded, even as the Blue Earth River ravaged areas around it. Hey, Jeff, do you remember what happened at Honeymead just a few months before that in January of 1965?
I got to tell you, I love doing these podcasts with you because I do. And I feel like it's been a while since we did this one already. But I like that's when they had the spill of
soybean oil,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they had that spill. It went over, they like blew a train car across the river and everything. And so that happened the winter before this happened.
That happened in January.
And this is in April. Wow.
And if you remember in that podcast about the Honeymead oil spill, they also trucked a lot of the debris out to a ravine by the Blue Earth River.
Okay.
And the Blue Earth River is going to end up swelling before the Minnesota River. So everything that was in the Blue Earth River
just comes right back down.
Comes right next to Honeymead one more time.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. And then on top of that, so they protected the, I mean, not to dive into it before we get to it, but they protected the Honeymead, even though like all that whole area is like lower, like that's the park is all lower and that got all flooded. Mm-hmm. But somehow they were able to save Honeymead. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Especially right next to the river.
Yeah. Right next to the river.
Oh, so once the formal orders for evacuation was given, La Hillier and West Mankato were emptied overnight. The National Guard was called in to patrol evacuated areas and control traffic, particularly keeping sightseers out of the area. Some guardsmen were stationed as far away as Waseca to stop unnecessary traffic.
Well, that's a long ways away to stop traffic. Wow.
Yeah. Thursday, April 8th, 1965. The flood level was rising dramatically, over half a foot in 5 hours.
Wow.
The new flood crest prediction was raised to 30 feet, nearly 4 feet higher than 1951, and would break the record set on April 27th, 1881, at 29.9 feet. In spite of all the work, some dikes collapsed. La Hillier sustained damages from dikes undercut by the rapidly moving water. The primary dike at Sibley Park, holding back the Blue Earth River, broke at 2 p.m. Thursday afternoon. The park office and the zoo were abandoned. Cages were opened to allow some of the non-dangerous small animals to escape on their own, and fences were broken down to allow larger animals to move to higher ground. Unfortunately, most of the caged animals were lost. The two lions, who had only about an inch of water in their cage, later died, apparently from exposure. In total, nearly 100 animals died.
Oh, tragic. Why did they, were they not able to, I suppose, to move that number of animals? I mean, they're getting vacating the cities, like the town.
But they didn't evacuate Sibley Park until the dike broke.
Why is that? You don't know, I suppose.
Well, because they thought the dike would hold.
They just thought it'd hold. Okay.
And what are you going to do with all of these animals?
Well, that's it. I mean, there's no place to really go with a lion.
No.
I mean,
no.
There's no, you want to put this lion in your house, would you please?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So the non-dangerous, or the bigger animals were like the bison, and I think there may have been like a moose or some deer, or, you know, bigger.
They
just kind of went off.
Right.
Went off wherever it was higher ground.
They're like, oh, we're free.
But you couldn't really let a lion out.
No.
And say, go find freedom.
I'm going to go find that deer. That's what,
yeah,
I'm going to find.
Exactly. The fight to stabilize the secondary dike at West 5th Street continued. At the main entrance to Sibley Park, water was 4 feet below the trestle. Only the roofs were showing of one-story houses on Hubble and Owatonna Streets. The railroad kept the river from moving further into West Mankato. However, the water quickly found other escape routes. The parking lot at the high school was filled to within 25 feet of the front of the building. The water had come up in five to six feet geysers through manhole covers.
Wow.
A few hours later, water was running over the road from Matson's parking lot. The basement of the high school and the vocational school that was within the high school were flooded with water only a couple inches below the first floor slab. Water rose so quickly at Matson's Value Center that shopping carts were abandoned in the aisles, and a plate of food was left on the counter in the restaurant that was in the basement. Water inside the store rose to the depth of 21 to 30 inches. Only the radio antenna of a car still in the parking lot behind the store was visible. Employees worked quickly to remove perishable foods as the water rose. Boats were later used inside the building to remove goods from higher shelves. Businesses along the 500 block of South Front Street were also reporting water in their basements, the results of storm sewers backing up. Friday, April 9th, 1965. As the river continued to rise, the evacuation orders for North Mankato came early that morning. Although many residents had left the day before, the fight continued along State Highway 169 as workers managed to keep the North Mankato Sewer Lift Station in operation, although it was an island surrounded by sandbags. U.S. Coast Guard boats patrolled the area, trying to keep a sense of humor in the midst of tense times. Someone erected a sign naming the sandbag enclave Gilligan's Island.
The U.S. Coast Guard had boats up here? That's interesting.
Yeah. Webster Avenue was a major concern for North Mankato workers. It was the failure of dikes at that point that had allowed water into the city in 1951. Even after a crest had been reported at the bridge, diking continued at Webster Avenue. Dikes were built to 34 feet, but officials were concerned that it would not be high enough. The North Mankato dike was 3,000 feet long and contained more than 1 million sandbags.
Wow.
Saturday, April 10th, 1965, the Minnesota River crested at the Main Street Bridge between 1 and 2 a.m. The river flowed at 92.07 feet, 29.07 feet above flood stage. It was estimated that the river at the bridge over the Blue Earth River at Sibley Park was 5 feet higher. At one point during the highest water, the Blue Earth River was flowing into the Minnesota River as a small waterfall. Okay, can you picture that?
I'm trying to wrap my head around it.
The water on the Blue Earth River was actually deeper
than what was coming down the Minnesota.
And so when you hit the confluence, remember that fancy word? Yeah. The confluence of the Blue Earth
and rivers merge.
Yep. The water from the Blue Earth River actually went down a little
That's
bit,
insane.
Like a small waterfall.
Because you said the Blue Earth River had crested or was whatever faster than the Minnesota, so and the Minnesota would come in there. That's just crazy to think about how that would even look.
I know it's making my mind boggle. Lahelia and West Mankato were flooded. North Mankato and downtown Mankato had been protected. Although everyone must have breathed a sigh of relief, there would be many more days of checking the dikes as the water slowly receded, and many weeks of repairing damaged homes, buildings, and streets. In total, 39 counties in Minnesota were declared federal disaster areas due to flooding that spring. There was water damage to 225 homes in Mankato, 125 in Lahelia, and 62 Mankato businesses. Today, hydrologists use supercomputers, radar systems, and satellites to predict flooding. In 1965, they used slide rules, rain gauges, and grave diggers who knew the depth of the frost in the ground. Today, almost 3 miles of concrete walls and riprap line the riverbanks, a flood control project completed in 1987. The Minnesota River running through Mankato and North Mankato may not be the prettiest stretches of river, but those flood walls look pretty good to anyone who lived through April 1965. More on that in another episode.
Oh, what a tease. I'm interested in a year. I mean, that was a process. I mean, they didn't get that finished until 1987. I mean, that's a lot of concrete walls to put up there, too.
There's a lot that goes into that whole story for another time,
yes.
So there have been 9 moderate to major floods since 1965. The one right after it was in 1969, the most recent in 2014, ranging from crests of 25 feet in 2010 to 30 feet in 1993. 1965 flood goes down in the record books as number 2 after 1993 severe in the severity of Minnesota River floods.
I was in 1993. That was the year that everybody.
That was everywhere.
I mean, I remember my hometown was just the whole park was washed out. Houses were abandoned after that or torn down and bought by the city. And
yeah, that goes down as the record of the worst flood was in 1993 with 1965 coming as a close second.
It's insane to think about. I mean, it's gonna be for another podcast, but all those walls there are holding it back, and some people complain about it. But yet, you look at what could have happened in 93 if that wall wasn't there.
Exactly. Well, and to think about that, there was 9 major floods since 1965.
Oh, right. Not just the 93 one.
And prior to that, the major floods that we had were 1881, 1897, 1908, which we talked about in a previous podcast,
that's right,
and 1951. So you had 4 major floods prior to 1965. After 1965, there are 9 major floods.
Incredible. It's so crazy to think about. And the thing about, it's 65. So things, we have technology, but the thing about all the manpower still had to go in hand to get the dikes built and to continue to sandbag everything.
In fact, there were a lot of people that came together to help with that sandbagging. There were high school students, college students. You also have to think at this time we're getting very close to the Vietnam conflict. Mm-hmm. So you have people that are already gone for that, but you have a lot of manpower that was right here. And of course, after this, when we do a little hindsight, the summer of 1965, they had a celebration.
That's
do you
right.
know what that celebration
I
was?
Do. You don't tempt me with a good time. they did the Fun Days, first started in 1965. That summer is a thank you to everybody who sandbagged and helped save Lower North Mankato.
Right, right. So the North Mankato Fun Days comes out of all of the people that worked so hard. And there wasn't just people that were helping with sandbags, organizations, the Red Cross, local churches, everybody had pitched in to provide meals, provide clean water, to provide shelter. This was definitely the community coming together to fight this river, but to also just to be neighborly and come together as a community. So yes, again, worthwhile celebration in the summer of 1965.
Absolutely. Now, I've seen a lot of photos online lately of like just 1950s, 1960s downtown Mankato and how cool that area looked. And if that flood wall wasn't there to stop the downtown area, how much different that would have looked then as well, for how much it saved. Because, I mean, it was a bustling downtown. There was a lot going on.
Yes, there was.
So they'd be able to save as much as they did.
Yeah.
Now, you might not know this offhand either. So like the West parking lot, it's built down. Is that designed because of this or was it because of the flooding?
The West parking lot was already built down.
It was
so
built
that's
down.
Why that filled all
the way up. And
was
that by design, you think?
I don't know, because that whole area is on a slough.
Okay.
And so there's, I think that perhaps that is only where they could build and not thinking ahead. I don't know if they were really thinking ahead to potential flooding of that area.
It helps capture the water so it doesn't go any farther than that,
right,
in this case.
Right.
It doesn't do any good for your parking lot. But.
No. The high school the high school was built at this time. I had mentioned that. It didn't endure a lot of damage because the high school is actually built on piers.
Yeah, it's built up a little bit.
It's built on piers. So like when you build a bridge, you build them on piers.
Mm-hmm.
So that go down in the ground. And that's exactly how the high school is built rather than...
Because of the slough area that's built on.
Right. So rather than building a normal foundation like you have of a house, they've actually built that up kind of, if you want to say, about on stilts in a way, even though there is a basement level to it.
Interesting.
So if it floods, it's really just flooding that basement level. But in the 1965 flood, it came 1 inch from going...
up into the main level.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is incredible to think about. It's such a great story to hear about. And like at the same time, like how serious, like I feel like it's been a long time now, knock on some wood someplace, that we haven't had to like constantly be watching the river every day.
Right.
Like I remember in 1993 and my parents like, okay, where's it at today? You drove down next to the river and then check it out. You weren't allowed to go into the park and all this stuff. And we've had a lot of river problems in Springfield, my hometown. So like flooding out the baseball field and everything down there. But like that was the year that it just changed so much stuff.
Oh, it did. It did. It was all, for what I can say, all of southern Minnesota was very damaged. I haven't done a lot of research, personal experience in 1993 of southern Minnesota. I don't know how much beyond southern Minnesota it expanded, but from Marshall to Mankato, flooding that was outrageous.
Right.
Huge record flooding at that time. So 1965 again goes down at number two of the highest record of flooding.
And probably more dangerous than the 1993 one because things were different. The flood wall wasn't intact and things.
Right.
At least for a Mankato area.
Right, right. And there's a lot of questions about the flood wall and how it affects the populations before and after the flood wall. So there's some questions there, but
that's for another podcast.
That's for another podcast. So we hope you enjoyed today's program as we took the way back machine to the historic 1965 flood. All of the information we shared today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, and in particular, an article written by Historical Society volunteer Hilda Parks. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.